come this morning on this Lord's Day again to worship our great and glorious God, who is worthy to receive our praise and our thanks and our remembrances of Him. We are called to worship Him as we read in His Word. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And so we sing to Him, even as our opening hymn reminds us. Sing to the Lord, sing His praise, all ye people. It's hymn number 65. It is a psalm, and we will sing Amen at the end. Then in your great and infinite love, you provided redemption for sinful man by sending your own dear Son into this world to die the death that we deserve, to suffer the hell that we should suffer for our own sins. And then, in that love, you took us to yourself and you made us your children. And now we come to worship you for all that you've done for us, even as we remember mercies renewed every morning during this past week, blessings that you've given to us. We don't deserve any of them, but you're so rich in your grace and your kindness that we have so many of them. And we thank you for that today. And as we're here now before you, our great God who has created us and redeemed us, and who in Jesus will judge the world someday and make everything right again, we come to give you our worship, our love, our adoration, and pray that you will receive it by your own dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you might make it real and alive in our hearts by your Holy Spirit today. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We read in the Word of God from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Deuteronomy, chapter 8. We read verses 1 through 11. In this particular portion of the Word of God, the word remember, the word forget appear 5 times. And God indeed wants us to remember many things about Him, and He wants us to remember His goodness to us and His blessings to us. And this is what the Lord spoke through Moses when they were coming into the Promised Land. Don't forget what I've done. Remember my blessings. And that's his word to us today. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes which I command you today. Notice verse 2, you shall remember, and verse 11, beware that you do not forget. Do not forget the Lord your God. May we remember him again today together. We'll sing hymn number 551, which speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ as a rock. He's the rock of ages, and we can hide in him. When life becomes difficult, we go to Jesus. He gives us the comfort that only he can give. Hiding in thee, 551. go to God together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, as we come to you this morning through our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for all that he is to us, all that you've made him to be for us, our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification and redemption. Jesus is everything to us. Not only does he bring us a pardon for our sins that lasts forever, but all through this life he is a rock to us. He's a hiding place. And how often we need to go to him. And we've sung of those many times in life when we need him near, and we need him so desperately. Those times of conflicts and sorrows, those times of temptation and trial, those times of perplexities and weakness. We need Jesus, and we thank you that we can go to him and he receives us. And when we come with full hearts, and when we come asking for what we need, he is willing to give to us even more than we ask or think. So we pray that you might help us always to hide ourselves in Jesus. Life can be like a storm, and yet he can hide us from the worst of it. And so we pray that you might teach us to run often and always to Jesus and find in him that rock of ages and that hiding place that we need. We thank you today that you've brought your people together in this place, and here we are to worship and adore you, the living God. And we pray that you might grant to us a real sense of the presence of Jesus with us and the true operating of your Holy Spirit among us. And we pray that we might be mindful of the presence of Christ, even though the absence of others might be very real to us as well. And we think of those that are not here this morning. There are some perhaps who are sick, there are some who are having difficulties today, some who are traveling. Rick, who is preaching, and we pray that all of these might know your blessing this day. And whether we've gathered together here in this place to hear from you and to worship before you together, or whether your people are scattered elsewhere, may we all together this day be brought near to our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, too, for the opportunities that you give us to serve you day by day and week by week. And may we remember that we are here, indeed, to be of service to him. You have saved us, you've redeemed us, you've pardoned us, and you've made us your children. And you've left us in this world to be a testimony to Jesus and to be a servant to others. And we pray that we might remember, especially those around us who do not know Christ, who are not saved, that we might speak a word to them that will make them know that they can be saved by this Lord Jesus Christ. And we also pray that you might help us to speak a word in season to those who are weary. Around us in our congregation today, there are those who are weary from the difficulties of life, and we meet them day by day, even along our pathways, and we pray that we might, as we draw near to you through our Lord Jesus Christ, morning by morning, we might have that word to speak in season to those who are weary. So we thank you that this day we're coming to you together. We're giving you our worship, and we're giving you our praise, and we're giving you our thanks, and we're here also to listen, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would make your word very real to us and very powerful to us this morning. May we hear what we need to hear and go from this place ready to serve again, trusting our Lord Jesus Christ for everything and hiding always in him. We thank you as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now hymn number 224, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. The Lord's Anointed is, of course, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our King. And he has begun to reign in this world, but not until he comes again will that reign of his be visible and obvious to all. But he's begun to do many things for his people even now. He continues to do them. And when he comes again, he'll do greater things yet. Hymn number 224, Hail to the Lord's Anointed. To participate in our third church cleaning day yesterday. We have a lot accomplished. And thank you all for serving the Lord as you did. And then a reminder, tonight we will be gathering around the Lord's table once again to remember what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us in his death and his sufferings on our behalf. Now hear God's word from 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, reading through verse 15. 2 Peter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things, after my decease. May God bless his word to us this morning. Let us pray to that end. Gracious Father, we are here this morning. We're here to give you worship and praise, which we have done in the singing of hymns. We are here to listen to your word, which we have done as it has been read to us. We're here to pray and to petition you, which we have done. And we're here also to listen as you would speak to us from the preaching of your word. And for that need, in a very special way, it is your Holy Spirit upon whom we depend, that he might open up your word to our hearts, and that with his own power it might be delivered to us. We might sense that Jesus himself is speaking to us in this hour, how we need that. How we pray for it, how we pray that every soul gathered here this morning would hear a special word to his or her heart from our Lord Jesus Christ. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning is found in verses 12 through 15 of what we've just read. Verses 12 through 15. Let me read it to you again. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Now, as you've read this section twice this morning, perhaps you've noticed what the emphasis is. And three times, the apostle speaks about reminding Christians of what they need to know and what they must not forget. He says it in verse 12, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." He says it again in verse 13, where he says at the end of the verse, "I will stir you up by reminding you." And then he says in verse 15, "I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things." Three times he speaks about reminding them, which tells us that it's important for us to remember things. And as we read from Deuteronomy, the Lord often tells us that we are to remember what he's done for us. We're not to forget his blessings toward us. And it's so easy in times of trial and difficulty, when we're going through rough times, to forget the good times, and even to be unmindful of present blessings through trials. We're not to forget the goodness of God to us, even as he renews to us morning by morning his mercies. So that's a theme throughout Scripture. And that's indeed why the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us his table. We come to remember him around the table of the Lord, to remember especially his death for us and his sufferings on our behalf, full knowing that if Jesus had not died for us, we'd have no pardon. We'd have no eternal life. We'd have no relationship with God. We'd have nothing. But we have everything if we have Jesus. And we have Jesus because he gave himself for us. And so we come tonight to remember that at the Lord's table. So remembering is very important. And this morning we're going to look first of all at the importance of remembering certain truths, as he points to the importance of it in three different ways. First of all, he says, I'll not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. It is so important to be reminded of things even that we already know. And it's easy for us even to forget the things we know. This happens in a natural setting, of course. We often forget things that we once knew. Some of us have learned foreign languages, and because we fail to use those languages over the years, we completely forget them. Or other things that we've learned. I have a rock collection in my office, and I enjoy looking at different kinds of rocks. And there was a time many years ago in college that I took two courses in geology. And I did very well in those two geology courses. And we even went out on field trips and we looked at rock formations and took samples. Well, I hold rocks in my hands today and I enjoy looking at them, but I can't tell you how they were formed. I can't tell you what minerals they are made of because everything I learned, I forgot. Well, we can forget some things and it won't do us too much harm, but to forget the things of God and to forget what he wants us to remember can be detrimental to our lives spiritually, to our characters as Christians. So he says, even though you know these things and even though you're established in them, I'm going to remind you of them. Because the things that are most important to remember are the things that we tend to forget, even the things that we know so well. And there's a tendency in all of us even to forget the things we know so well. And Peter doesn't think that just because they know them and they're established in them that he doesn't need to remind them of them, because we are by nature forgetful people. And so he says, though you know and are established in the present truth, still I'm going to remind you of the things that you need to remember. And so he emphasizes the importance of remembering, especially the things that we already know. And then he says in verse 13 that I'm going to continue to remind you. He says, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. He says, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to remind you. And I hope you won't get tired of hearing me go over and over the same things, because it's very important for you to remember them. The Apostle Paul said something very similar as he wrote to the Philippians. He says to them, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And he says, for me to write the same things to you may seem redundant to you, but it's very important for me to remind you of the things you already know. And so Peter says, as long as I'm alive, I'll keep reminding you Don't get tired of hearing what I'm going to tell you over and over and over again, lest you forget. And then he says something very interesting in verse 15, when he says, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Peter knew that it wasn't going to be long before the Lord took him home. And in some way, he was going to leave a reminder of everything to them after he died. Was he going to write another letter? What was he going to do? We're not sure. But Peter was going to make some means available to these people, not to forget the things that they were supposed to remember. And so all of this to say that it is important for us to remember things, to remember certain truths. Now, it may not be important for you to remember everything you've ever learned in college, like the formation of rocks and the things that I've already forgotten. But there are things that we must not forget. What are they? Notice what he says. He uses the phrase, these things, in verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. And then he uses that phrase again in verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things. What is he talking about? What are these things? What are the important matters that they are not to forget and that he's going to continue to remind them of? Well, we might think it is the great truths concerning the nature of God and his being. We might think that it is all the work of Jesus on our behalf that we remember, for instance, at the Lord's table. But that's not what the phrase these things refer to. What then is he telling us we need to remember? What are these things that he says I'm going to remind you of continually? Well, we find this phrase, these things, have already been used in this passage. For instance, in verse 8, he says, if these things are yours and abound, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, these things. He uses the phrase again in verse 9, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He uses it again in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. So he's already written about these things. What are these things then? Well, he referred to them in verses 5 through 7. Those seven Christ-like qualities that we are to add to faith. We are to add to faith. We've been looking at the last couple of Lord's days. And he enumerates them then in verse 5 through 7. He speaks of virtue or praising, as we saw, knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness, which is piety or drawing near to Jesus, and brotherly kindness and love. These things. And he says that these things are yours and abound, these Christ-like qualities, you'll not be unfruitful. He says, if you lack these things, these seven Christ-like qualities, you're short-sighted even to blindness, and you've forgotten that you were cleansed from your sins. And then in verse 7 about these things, he says, if you do these things, if you put on these seven Christ-like qualities, adding them to your faith, you'll never stumble. And so when he says in verses 12 to 15 over and over, I'm going to remind you of these things, these are the things then of which he is reminding them. And I'm reminding you this morning, as I've reminded myself, that we are to put on every day, adding to faith, these Christ-like qualities, praising and knowledge and self-control, perseverance and godliness and kindness and love. That's what we're not to forget, because it's easy to forget that this is what we're supposed to be. And unless we remind ourselves every day and every moment of the day, don't forget to put on and to add to your faith. Don't forget the praising and the knowledge and the self-control and the perseverance and the godliness and the kindness and the love. Don't forget. we don't remind ourselves, we will forget. And reminding ourselves is part of what he means in verse 5 by giving all diligence. He says, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith these qualities. It's a part of diligence to be careful every day to remember these things that are so very important and so very vital to us as Christians. And I remind you that it is so vital that if we lack these things, we're blind. If we lack them, we've forgotten our cleansing from sin. But if these things are ours, we'll not be unfruitful. We'll live a life of usefulness. And we'll even have assurance, making our calling and election sure. And we'll never stumble. That's how important it is that we add to our faith these Christ-like qualities. We'll not stumble if we do. We'll be useful if we do. We'll not be forgetful of what Jesus has done for us if we do. All that, the importance of adding these Christ-like qualities to our faith. Well, that's what we are to remember then. Why do we need to remember these things? Well, we've already given some attention to the reasons why, but there's a primary reason, and there are some secondary reasons. Why is it that we need to be reminded, and why is it that you and I need to remember to add these Christ-like qualities to our faith? Well, the primary reason is given to us in verse 11, because he says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Verse 12, for this reason. What's the reason? What's the primary reason that we are not to forget, that we have to remember to add these Christ-like qualities to our lives? Verse 11, that's the reason. That an entrance will be supplied to us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we looked at this last week, and we realized that he's not talking about merely entering the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we know as heaven. He's not speaking merely of entering that, because all believers will enter. And the happy thing is, and the wonderful thing is, that pardon from sin that Jesus provides for us and the salvation that is given to us, such that even though we may forget to add to our faith, if our faith is in Jesus, we'll enter heaven. That's the beauty and the glory of his salvation. And don't forget that. We add to our faith these Christ-like qualities, but we already have the faith in Jesus. And it's that faith in Jesus by which we enter heaven. It's by that faith in Jesus that we have a place in his everlasting kingdom. So it's not the entrance itself that he's speaking of. Everybody who has that faith will enter. But he's speaking of something more. That those who add to faith will receive. And that's why he uses the word in verse 11, supply. Which is really, in Greek, the same word as the word add in verse 5. Remember, we went over this. He says in verse 5, also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. The word add. Now we see it again in verse 11. For so an entrance will be added to you. In other words, it's not just entering heaven, but there's something more that he's going to add to us. And he uses the word abundantly, signifying that for some Christians who do add to their faith these Christ-like qualities, God will add to them an abundance in their experience of heaven. And I say to you again this morning that your experience of heaven very much depends upon how you live here. And we tend to forget that. We tend to forget, as long as we have the faith, we'll all be there in the same level of enjoyment and experience of heavenly glory. But the Bible, so many places, teaches that there are degrees of glory There are degrees of experience. There are degrees of reward. Just as here and now there are degrees of experience among believers. Some believers know Jesus better than others. And some believers experience his presence more than others. And some believers know what it is to fellowship with Jesus better than others. Well, even as our experience of Christ down here is different, our experience up there will be different as well. Among the 12 apostles, there were different experiences of Christ, you remember. There were 12 of them, but there were only 3 that Jesus would select to accompany him at very special moments. Peter, James, and John went up with him on the mountain of Transfiguration. And Peter, James, and John were allowed into a room where there was someone who was going to be a recipient of God's resurrection power through Jesus. These 3, Peter, James, and John, were in a very special place. And among the 3, John was very special because he was the one we're told that Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loved them all. But John was loved in a special way. And it seems that John, above all, tried to get close to Jesus more than all the others. The others were maybe more concerned about doing. And Peter was more concerned about speaking. But John was more concerned about getting close. He wanted to be close to Jesus. And there he is at the Last Supper, leaning on the breast of the Lord Jesus. Because in those days they didn't sit at with chairs at tables like we do at a banquet or a dinner. They lied on couches. And there was John lying so close to Jesus at that Last Supper. And there's a sense in which you can get as close to him as you want to get. So there are, even now, varying degrees of experiences and enjoyments of Jesus among his people. And it's the same in heaven. But what we experience then and there depends on what we do here and now. And that's why it says, add to your faith. Don't be content just with faith alone. Faith will get you there. But adding to your faith, adding these Christ-like qualities, will give you a greater enjoyment of heaven when you arrive. And that's why he uses these words. An entrance will be added to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason. And that's why he's reminding them primarily. He doesn't want them to miss anything that could come to them in the future. He doesn't want them to miss any future blessings in heaven. He doesn't want them to miss being on the highest levels of enjoyment of that glory place. And so, for this reason, I'm reminding you, he says. And that's the primary reason, to be reminded that we are to add Christ-like qualities to our faith. But there are secondary reasons. The first, of course, is that we tend to be forgetful. We've considered that already. We just are forgetful people. But we're also lethargic spiritually, he says. In verse 13, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. The word to stir up, it's not so much what we do at the fireplace when the embers have gone from hot to warm and they're fading, and stir them up so the fire can be caught again. But the word really has to do with being awakened. It has to do with spiritual lethargy to which we are all heirs to, one of those weaknesses of the flesh. He tells us that we need to be stirred up, or we need to be awakened. We need to be roused. And Paul says the same thing in his epistle to the Romans. He says, do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. He says, let us be awake. Spiritual lethargy, because spiritually we tend to fall asleep. Those three apostles, Peter, James, and John, fell asleep at the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus wanted them near to him. Jesus wanted them praying with him. Jesus wanted their company. Jesus wanted their human companionship at his darkest hour. But they fell asleep. They couldn't even stay awake while Jesus was agonizing in prayer. We're like that spiritually. We tend to fall asleep spiritually, not even be aware of the realities of Christ and his kingdom that are around us. And so he says, you need to be stirred up, or you need to be awakened. You need to be roused. And then there's another reason why we need these reminders, and it's because of false teaching. He'll begin speaking of that in chapter 2, where he says, there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. He says there are false teachers everywhere, and they come into the church even. And in churches today, there are people who are leading Christians astray. And Peter says, there will be those who will take your mind off of the things that are important and get you thinking of secondary matters. And that happens today, even in churches. People have on their minds secondary issues, secondary doctrines, things that have nothing to do even with living the life of faith and living near to Jesus. And in churches today, people like false prophets are turning the minds of Christians away from what's important to things that either are very secondary or false, secondary at best and false at the worst. And so because of false teaching, and I remind you that false teaching can also be to take a doctrine, which is one of the secondary doctrines in Scripture, and make it a primary doctrine. For instance, there are people that are just so taken up with the events of the end times, and all they can think about is putting together the pieces of the end time puzzle, and when are the events to take place, and what are the signs, and that's all they think about. And when they talk to you about anything spiritual, it's always about that. Well, it's rather secondary for us to try to understand all of those intricacies and those mysteries. And that comes at the top to such people. And false teaching can involve simply an inversion of what's most important, as well as outright heresies. So because of this, he says, you need to be reminded. So what I'm saying to you this morning is this. It's important for you and me to remind ourselves every day that faith in Jesus, as important as that is, and without faith in Jesus, we have no pardon for sins. Without faith in Jesus, we have no eternal life. Without faith in Jesus, we have no entrance into heaven. But there's more to being a Christian than just having faith in Jesus. And Peter says, don't forget to add to your faith these Christ-like qualities, so that you can have an experience of heaven which will be abundant, as well as being fruitful while you're here. Let me say this to you. As you set your minds to remember these Christ-like qualities, who will you be thinking about but Jesus? Because who is it, more than anyone? Who is it, par excellence, who is it imperfection, who had praising and self-control and perseverance and godliness and kindness and love while he walked here among us? And who is it that embodies these qualities even today? It's Jesus Christ. So as you set your mind to remember to add these qualities to your faith, you will be thinking of Jesus and how our minds need to be filled with him. Let us pray. Gracious Father, how thankful we are this morning for every reminder of what we are to be and what we are to do and what we are to think, what we are to remember. Forgive us for our forgetfulness. Forgive us at times of putting on the top of the list of doctrinal priorities the things that really go far below. Forgive us for thinking that our own special and pet interests are the most important of all, when you tell us in your word what's most important. So help us to be like Jesus. Help us to desire in our Christ-likeness to add these qualities to our faith, that we might someday enjoy the heaven that you would prepare for us, and that we might be fruitful here and now. Help us always to remember. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we did last week, we're going to close with the Christian hymns and number 607. Christian hymns number 607. So often in the Christian life, the victory or loss is found in the mind, mental attitudes, remembering what we're not to forget, and bringing every thought captive to Christ. And so this hymn opens, "May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day." And it's all about these Christ-like qualities that we want to add to our faith. And there's a page turn, there are six stanzas, hymn number 607 in the Christian hymns.
May the
good and gracious God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, we pray that you will help us to keep looking to Jesus. Keep us from having our sights fixed on things that are but temporary. And may we never have our sights fixed on things that are useless and sinful. May we have our eyes fixed on Jesus. And as we do, may we see those qualities of his that we wish to have in our lives. As we look at Jesus, may we add those qualities to our faith, being thankful that you've made it possible for us to do so, because we're partakers of the divine nature of Jesus himself. May these things mean much to us. Would you give us grace to remember them and to do them? Even as Jesus said to us, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Make us happy then, we pray. Make us happy Christians by adding to our faith these Christ-like qualities and by looking always unto Jesus. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide. Amen.
Thank you.